Well, there's a text on the screen in front of you there. It's from Genesis 2 and verse 18. And it was a time when God looked down and he saw the lonely nature of his creation. He saw Adam. As he looked at Adam, he said, "You're lonesome." And he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And he took the rib that enabled him to create another being. When Adam woke up, he knew that all the animals had been named. And God said, here's woman. Taken from the side of man. And there's going to come a time when people will be called upon to leave the nest. And as a male and a female choose to live their lives together, they will cleave to one another. And the two of them will become one flesh. And that was the ideal that God painted for us in the garden account in Genesis chapter 2. But as you look at the title, you know that there are conflicts, that there are reverses, there are difficulties in the relationship we call marriage. And so this morning, what we want to do in our message is talk about how we can strengthen our homes. I want to tell you why this is so important. We talked earlier today in this room, in my class, we talked about Satan and how real he is. And how Satan is working, even worked in the life of Jesus to test, trial, and tempt him, Jesus. And I'm here to tell us today that Satan is working overtime to dismantle our marriages and our homes and our families. And he knows when he does that, he's not only undermined the nation we live in, he's not only undermined the church that we attend, but he's undermined us individually. And he is working overtime, even as I speak, to do that very thing. So what we want to do this morning is we want to talk about how to strengthen those homes, how to strengthen those marriages. And we have to learn that there is a huge gap between getting married and being married. So many couples spend so much time on the wedding, on the ceremony, that they forget that after it's over, they're married. And they got to work at being married to one another. I want to give you the seven top reasons why couples decide that they no longer want to spend their lives together. Here they are. Number one, money. Here's what happens in a relationship. Somebody comes from a relationship where that family had very poor skills in money management. And that spouse spends freely. As a matter of fact, that spouse begins to spend more than the income. The outgo is passing the income. The other mate might come from a totally different background, where they came from the background that you save every penny, and I mean save every penny, and you don't splurge on nothing, no time, nowhere, no place, no how. And there's a conflict between money. We can't talk very long about any one of these because we need to continue moving. The second one, sexual issues in a relationship. If people do not understand that they become one in that relationship, and that female is to give her body to that male, and that male is to give his body to that female. And as the book of 1 Corinthians says, chapter 7, they're not to defraud one another or use sex as a bargaining chip and a tool and a weapon. Where I'll do this if you'll give me this, and I'll do that if you give me that. That's not the way it works. And there are a lot of sexual issues in marriage that cause people to part company with one another. Number three. I've alluded to this one more than one time from this platform. That's where you try to fix your mate. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can't do it. Don't even try. Because you cannot do it. You cannot fix your parents. You can't fix your children. You can't fix your mate. You can't fix your boss. You can't fix your employee. You can't do it. You know what you can fix? You can fix you. You're the only one you can fix. You can't fix somebody. And so many couples spend so much time, well, if she would just and if he would just forget it. I got to fix myself. Would you say amen to that? All right, you're listening. God bless you. Number four, infidelity. And we're gonna get to this one just a little bit later on in the message. But that is a major cause of divorce. Number five, a lack of appreciation. There are some couples that do not know the other one exists. And they fail to appreciate them. Number four is a lack of commitment. Don't go into any relationship thinking, well, if this don't work, I'll get another one. If that don't work, I'll get another one. If that don't work, I'll get another one. A lack of commitment. And number seven, inattention. Similar to a lack of appreciation, but I'm going to tell you something. If you don't pay attention to your spouse, somebody else will. Need to remember that. So here are the seven top reasons in 2018 why couples decide to break up. Let's look at God's original intention. Two people to commit to one another for life. That's God's original plan. I'm reminded of Malachi 2 verse 16, where the writer here says that God hates divorce. When I look this up in the Jewish Bible, and I've got about 18 different versions, maybe 25 different versions, and I constantly go to those and look at what that passage means. I found it interesting in the Jewish Bible that it said God detests divorce. Well, hate and detest, those are pretty strong words that God gives. So that's God's original intention. That a person makes a covenant, a pact, an agreement, they show loyalty to one another. Now, I know what a lot of people say on this point. We say, well, when we got married, we got a piece of paper. We get somebody hand us a piece of paper. Anyway, it was a part of a marriage license. And you know, if you look at your marriage as just a piece of paper, you're flawed from the beginning and you're skewed from the beginning if you look at it as just a piece of paper. When you stood before the justice of the peace, or you stood before the preacher, the evangelist, the minister, whoever you stood before, you also took a ring. I mean, you weren't that cheap, were you? You took a ring. And you made a covenant and a pact with that ring when you put the ring on the finger. And it became more than a piece of paper. It became an agreement and a pact and a covenant that you made with your spouse. Let's look at Jesus' teaching. This might help us. So I don't know of any greater place to go than the teaching of Jesus. In his Sermon on the Mountain, in Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be talking about this, incidentally, next week in my class. Love to have you. We have two great adult classes. Greg has a great class. Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. Look what Jesus said, and then we'll go to Matthew 19. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Now, that's going back to a teaching of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Because of the hardness of the heart, God did not want it, but he permitted it at that time. But look at verse 32. Here's a teaching of Jesus. You know what happened with Moses, but I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus kind of further gives us some information here that helps us, because he was asked a question by the Pharisees. And they're always trying to tempt Jesus, and they did on this occasion. But Jesus, being the wise man that he was, look at verse 3 of Matthew 19, and we'll read down through verse 9. The Pharisees came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And we got up this morning and she burned the biscuits. Can we divorce her because she burned the biscuits? Well, you might get a frying pan over your head, first of all. He answered and said to them, the Pharisees, and to people for future generations, have you not read? That goes back to the old covenant, the old law, the first five books of the Bible. Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning, Genesis 1 and 2, made them male and female? Now watch, there's some importance here because of the culture we live in, the LGBTQ movement that is, boom, hitting us right in the face today. And he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's something we just read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. So then they are no longer two, but they have become one. And here is a line that we need to remember. I use this in most all of my weddings. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. What God puts together, don't let man, those top seven reasons for divorce we gave a few moments ago, don't let man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of their hearts, your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning. That was not God's original intention, he says. Now watch verse 9, because what verse 9 does is it gives an out for the innocent. And God, in his justice and his mercy and his grace, God never punishes the innocent. And so God gives an out for the innocent. And here's the innocent's out. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So God takes the innocent person, and God gives an out for the innocent party. Now here's what the innocent party has to do. If they decide to sever the relationship, they have a choice to make. Here's the choice. Number one, I can live single and celibate. Or number two, I too can find somebody who's never been married, or find somebody who also is an innocent victim, who they too have seen their mate become unfaithful to them. That's the clause that God gives. So as we look at that, that brings another issue into the forefront. The institution of marriage today is D-O-W-N. It's down. People aren't getting married as much as they used to. And the reason why is on a screen. Because of something that's referred to as cohabitation. Some people call it shacking up, some people call it living together, some people even call it hooking up. Hooking up a lot of times just means I'm going to find somebody and have NSA with them and move on to somebody else. No strings attached, I'm just going to have sex with them, I'll move on to somebody else, maybe live with them for a while. Well, look at this argument that we want to see if it works out. Where in the Bible would somebody find reasoning for that fallacy? Well, I was going to see if it works out. What if you look back at those top seven reasons for divorce? If you go into it with a lack of commitment, if you go into it and there's inattention, if you go into it and there's all these other things, living together outside of marriage is anti-biblical. There's nothing about it in the Bible that sanctions it. And even goes on to say this, that one of the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 through 21 is fornication, which is sex outside of marriage. So where are we and what do we do? Well, here's what we do. When all else fails, all eyes up here. When all else fails, we read the instructions. You see, what's happened to us is we don't read the instructions. And as a result of that, we find ourselves in situations that we never thought we would be in. God's plan has never failed, not one time. Now see, a lot of relationships have failed because they didn't follow God's plan. And we just have to be willing to follow the plan. It's true in this subject like it's true in any other subject. Every biblical subject that relates is following God's plan. If it's becoming a Christian, We follow God's plan. We die to our sins. We're buried like we saw Hannah and Patience do last Sunday. They died to their sins in that watery grave of baptism. We didn't leave them there. They came up out of the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. It's that way with any biblical subject. If we follow God's plan, we're going to find happiness and serenity. Are there going to be problems? Yes. Are you breathing? As long as you breathe, you're going to have problems. As long as two people come from two different cultures, two different families, two different rearings, two different raisings, as long as that happens, you're going to have some friction. That's just individuals who are sometimes stubborn, obstinate. We say hard-headed, hard-hearted, whatever the case might be. That's just the way the clash is. You're not going to find two people who came from any different backgrounds than Tina and I. You know, I was raised almost my entire life in bigger cities, bigger towns. She never lived in a big city, in a big town. Hardly got her out of the county. Haven't got her yet west of the Mississippi. We come from different cultures. There's some clashing that goes on there. But I enjoy as much as anybody the rural life now. I've adopted her lifestyle. It's pretty good. I enjoy it. But as long as you have two people, there has to be a meshing together of those two people. And the hardest thing to do in the whole equation is to fix me. And you got to fix you. And once we do that, God will get the glory. Grab your songbooks. Thank you for being a listening group. I guess really there are three reasons why we wanted to deliver this lesson today. Number one, it's to save your soul. Number two, it's to strengthen the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this location. And number three, it's to make our community stronger. Because we have a male and a female that commits to one another, and their children see that, and they have a model to follow in the future. You know, we don't know people's hearts. We don't know what's going on in people's lives, but the opportunity is certainly available to do as three people did last week, respond in a public way to the invitation for various requests. Whatever your request is, we're willing to pray with you and for you. Brian, while we stand and sing.